So let's see if my slides come true. Welcome to the LinkedIn Live session. It's been a while since I've done one, so I'm happy to be here again. Today's session is going to be about Windows Azure Access Control Service. So just the components inside Windows Azure, which you can use to federate your identity, which means to externalize, to outsource, in fact, your authentication scenarios. And we've done that the same thing with MiGet, and I'm going to show you why we've used Access Control Service, how we've used Access Control Service, and how you can benefit from it in your projects. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Maarten Mayo. I'm from Belgium, of course. I work for Real Dolmen. And at Real Dolmen, I'm mainly occupied with everything related to web. So ASP.NET MVC, PHP, Windows Azure, SignalR, and everything related to that and possibly combined. I'm also an MVP in Windows Azure, and I'm the co-founder of the ASIC, and we have a session later this week. So if you're interested in Windows Azure and globalization of your applications, feel free to navigate to ASIC.be for our session this Thursday. About all these topics, if you're interested in these topics, you can follow my blog or follow me on Twitter, and I will try to post as much as I can about these topics. My blog posts will be technical. Twitter may be a combination of noise and signal, and the signal will be about all the technologies listed on the slides, so ASP.NET MVC, PHP, Azure, and stuff like that. Now, before we start, let's go with the agenda. The start of this session will be about humans and the fact that humans are pretty complicated and that they tend to create insane solutions for things that are around. I will show you why I'm telling you that and how identity federation can make things less complicated there. After we've covered identity federation, I will cover Windows Azure ACS and what it does and why you may want to use it. And then I'll give you some practical examples of how you can use it and how we have been using it in MiGet. And afterwards, if you have some time for Q&A, feel free to pose your questions through the Q&A pane, and we'll try to answer your questions after the session. So first of all, humans are complicated, and we tend to make identity a world of pain. So to test that, take your wallet and check what's in there. And you will probably see that you have a lot of identities. Actually, the images you're seeing are the cards that are in my wallet, and that's a lot of identities. And the crazy thing about it is you see two total cards, so two cards for my total tank pass. One is just to pay for my gas. The other one is to benefit from my customer loyalty program. So it's insane that even for the same company, I have to have two identities to prove that I'm really who I am, and to benefit and to pay for certain things. So it's a lot, and I'm pretty sure some have more identities, some have less identities in their wallets, but it should be a big mess. The same goes with the internet. Check your brain, for example, and you will see that you have tons of identities. I've posted a number of logos on this slide. I have a Yahoo ID, I have two Windows Live IDs, or three, I suppose. I have two Google accounts, I have one Twitter account, Facebook account, some open IDs, my Real Dolmen credentials. I'm also a customer at Telenet, so I have credentials there to log in. So a lot of identities, and you probably also have a lot of those as well. Now, typically what users do, and something which I used to do as well, is to use the same username and the same password on all these sites. Now, that's a big problem, because if you're doing open source, like I did, you may check in that password to the source control repository on CodePix. And I did that once, and I can tell you it's a big mess to log into all these sites, to remember where you have an account, and to change your passwords there. So it's really a big mess, identity. By now, I think I've managed to change the password on much of these sites, but still not on all of these sites, because weekly I still find an internet site where I still use that old password. So it's really crazy. If you dig into the commits on CodePlex for PHP Excel, you will probably find my passwords, but I'm pretty sure you will be only able to use it on websites that are not important, but still, it's a risk, and it's one big mess. So we're insane. As a user, it's difficult to track all these identities. It's difficult to know which password goes with which account you should use at which websites. There's, of course, a lot of software to manage all these identities and to know, well, that website with that account with that password. But I don't think it's the purpose of identity to have such software where you have to look up your password every time you're going to use it. Also, it's confusing. There's no single sign-on. For example, if I sign in to GitHub, I'm not signed into CodePlex. If I sign in to my Telnet account, I'm not signed into my Windows Live ID. So there's no single sign-on. There's no mechanism of having just one or two or some identities instead of that large number of identities. It's also great fun for developers to create yet again a register page, a login page, a lost password page, and stuff like that. Typically, on a lot of projects that are outside your corporate firewall, for example, you will have to create such pages and create such functionality to do all that. It would be much more interesting if you had just one account which you could reuse across multiple websites. So, for example, I think most of you will have a Windows Live ID. If you log into Hotmail, you're automatically logged into MSDN, you're automatically logged into MSDN forums. Basically, every site Microsoft has and that uses Windows Live ID to log in will federate your identity across these websites. Those websites are not one big application containing all these websites. No, those are really small, separate applications that you are using, but the identity you are using is your Windows Live ID, and you're using that across all these websites Microsoft has. Google, for example, does the same with your Google ID. People who have an Open ID can use their Open ID on many websites. For example, Stack Overflow, you can just log in using the same credentials over and over again, which is much interesting, much more interesting to work with. So the idea of identity federation is, the solution to this problem is to trust someone else to do the authentication for you. So for example, if you have a website, you will trust Google, or you will trust OpenID, or you will trust Windows Live ID to do the authentication for you. To give you a quick example, what may happen is, this is me, and I'm interested in drinking a beer. And if you want to do identity federation, well, my bartender will probably trust the Belgian government. Don't think that's smart, or maybe it isn't smart to trust the Belgian government, but still, if I want to drink my beer, my bartender will trust the Belgian government to know whether I'm allowed to drink this beer or not. So what will happen is, I ask the bartender for one beer. The bartender knows the Belgian government, and he will ask for for proof of identity. So he will ask me to claim that I'm old enough to drink this beer. Now, what I did is every 5 years or every few years, you will have to go to your local community and ask for a new identity card. So you will do that. They will issue you an identity card, and you will hand that identity card to the bartender. And because the bartender trusts this identity card, because the bartender trusts the issuer of this identity card, in this case, the Belgian government, the bartender will know these claims on this identity card are valid. And he will give me access to beer, which is very interesting, and always gets happy when that happens. So this is happy me.
I like your slides at this time, Martin.
Now, you've seen my identity cards, and if you have identity on the internet, for example, you trust someone else to do the authentication for you, you will have an authentication ticket. In real life, this will be your identity cards. On the internet, it will be just an XML file containing several things of information. So first of all, this is just my identity cards. First of all, there will be a trust realm. Everyone who trusts Belgium, everyone who allows you to authenticate within Belgium will have this realm and will trust authentication tickets issued by this realm. You also have some certificates on the authentication tickets. So as with the XML file used for identity federation on the internet, you have a certificate on your identity card as well. So there's one electronical in a chip of the identity card, but there's also a signature there's some some security checks on there. For example, a hologram of my photo. There's a map of Belgium, which colors depending on how you shine light on this identity card. So those are all things to just prove that this authentication ticket is valid. I also have my identity provider. My identity provider will be the Belgian government, and they provide me with these authentication tickets. These authentication tickets then contains a lot of claims. So for example, one of these claims could be, my name is Martin Baljau. My birth date is this specific date. My birthplace is this specific birthplace. My sex is this sex, man or female. My nationality is Belgian or something else. I also have an identity card number, which is just a unique identifier for these authentication tickets. So this ticket has an identifier to hand over to everyone who wants to consume the claims on these identity cards, and they can use that identity ticket number, so the card number, to check whether everything is valid or not. Also very important is the fact that there's a lifetime for authentication tickets. So there's a from date and a to date on this authentication tickets. Both in real life on my passport, there's a date from and a date to, whether it's valid or not valid. And your electronic validation that you will do in your applications consuming authentication tickets will also have a lifetime. So there's really a 100% analogy between your passport or your identity card and authentication and identity federation on the internet. So let's do that again. And let's see how this happens. Let's see all the steps that are happening. So again, I want to drink a beer. And there are some prerequisites. There's a trust relationship between my bartender and the Belgian government. So the first thing that will happen is I yell at the bartender and I say, I want a drink. He will say, well, you have to prove that you're old enough to drink a beer. What I did prior to this is I went to my government to fetch an identity card. They did some government chisel, which takes some time, and they returned me an identity card. So I get the identity card, and I also am the one who will show this identity card to the bartender. It's not the Belgian government who will show this data to the bartender. I will show the identity cards. He will validate the claims, and because he trusts the Belgian government, he knows that all the claims on this identity card are valid, so I can have my drink. So an important thing here to know is there's two prerequisites, one which is a trust relationship between the bartender and government. The other one is that I am, in fact, the one handing out the authentication tickets between all parties. So I am the one going to my secure token server to the Belgian government to fetch an identity card, and I'm also the one who will hand over that identity card to the bartender. So there's never a direct connection between the bartender and the Belgian government. He doesn't call the Belgian government to check if I'm old enough to have a drink. I have to prove it using my identity cards. And that identity card is valid in this situation because there's a trust between the bartender and the Belgian government. Now, let's just change the labels on this diagram, and let's do that again. Imagine you have a user, your application, a secure token server, which is like the Belgian government, which issues you authentication tickets, and there's some database containing all the information that will be available on these tickets. So I'm a user. And I want to browse your application. Well, the application will say, I'm not authenticated, and I will have to prove I can authenticate, and I will have to prove some claims that I can log into this application. So what will happen is I'm being redirected to my secure token server, so parallel with the Belgian government. They will check on the database if I'm authenticated. They will add a lifetime, for example. They will add my email address, my Active Directory group on the tickets, and they will return a security token. Next thing that will happen is that my user will hand over that security token to my application, and based on the information listed in that token, my application will grant me access or no access and will set a cookie so this whole flow doesn't have to happen again within a certain time frame. So again, there's a trust relationship between my application and some authority, the secure token service in this case. And my user is the one handing over a security token. So there's, again, no direct communication between the application and the secure token server. No, it's my user who just passes along the information across the wire. There's a lot of benefits in Federation. One benefit is there's no direct communication between parties. So from the moment you have a trust between your application and the secure token server, you don't have to be able to have direct communication between both parties. So imagine you have an application on the internet. You should authenticate to that application. What you can do is log into your local security token server, which can be within your firewall, which can be not exposed to the internet and secured. You just get a ticket from that server and then pass on that ticket to the web server that you're authenticating to. So because it's the user who passes the tickets across the wire, your servers can be in different networks and they don't have to be able to talk to each other. Another benefit is single sign-on. In several situations, so for example, if your secure token server is something which works based on Active Directory, you have single sign-on because you're already logged into your machine. So if you want to log into a website which consumes your security token server, what will happen is you're logged into your PC, so you'll automatically be logged into the secure token server as well, and you will benefit from some sort of single sign-on. Also, a different case is where you are already logged into your security token server because one application used it and required you to log into that server. What will happen is if you navigate to a different application which also uses the same server, the server will not authenticate you again. You will already know you. There will be a cookie proving that you are the one logging in again, and it will just redirect you again through the application, and you will have single sign-on across applications that are sitting on the internet, for example. Another benefit is there's no, less administrative overhead. So you don't have to manage your users. You don't have to manage roles. You don't have to manage yet another registration page, yet another login page. You can just ask your IT pros to set up an ADFS server, for example, and have them do the authentication and the user management, and you will just consume these things in your applications and just develop the fun parts and not just all the things that you do in every application, login pages, registration pages, and things like that. How do you do this in your application? Well, there's the Windows Identity Foundation SDK. I will provide a link at the end of the slide deck. There's also, if you go to the handouts link on top of your live meeting client, you will find the slide deck already. So if you're interested in the SDK, just go ahead and download it. The SDK is basically everything you need to work with this type of federation, with this type of identity federation. It adds a small wizard to Visual Studio 2010, which will enable you to work with Windows Identity Foundation and work with Identity Federation. And it basically generates a lot of the configuration for you, so you don't have to manage all that by yourself. I'm going to give you a quick demo of how you can do this and how you can set up an application to use one secure token server. So I have my Visual Studio. I will create a new project, and I will have to switch the contents probably. Let's switch to my desktop. There we go. You will see my Visual Studio, and I will create a new simple ASP.NET web application. Just going to call it Web Application 1 and click OK. And what will happen is my Visual Studio will just create me a new project. Nothing fancy about this, probably something you do a lot of times in your developer life as well. What I'm going to do is go to the properties of this web application and just check on which ports and which URL this application will be running, just to make sure I can configure everything. So I'm going to use a local IIS web server, IIS Express even, and I'm going to copy my project URL. Save these things, okay. Next thing is, if you install the Windows Identity Foundation SDK, you will find a new menu entry under your right click on projects. There's a menu option, Add STS Reference. And that one is basically a wizard which will configure your application to use Identity Federation using Windows Identity Foundation. So the first thing this wizard will ask you is, where is your web config stored? It has to know about that just to store all the configuration details about how you're going to authenticate in this application. Next thing it will ask to know is your application URI. The reason for that is, if you want to authenticate through a federated server, that server will have to know where you are coming from. And this information, if I enter it in here, Windows Identity Foundation will present the information to the server, and the server will know where I'm coming from and will know where to authenticate me. I'm going to click Next, and I have several options. I can select to just add some basic loyalty configuration. I can choose to use an existing SDS. So, for example, if I want to use the Windows Azure Access Control Service, I will enter the URL to my Access Control Service namespace in here. So I can use that one to log in. Now, because I want to show you how you can use this in projects that are not using ACS as well, I'm just going to create a new SDS. You should probably not do this and use Active Directory Federation Server instead, or ACS, or something else which uses this type of authentication, but I'm just going to do this so you can, so you know how you can have a playground to test everything. So I'm going to click Next and Finish. And what will happen is, my application will now contain a simple security token server. So everything ACS will do is just a small separate project within my application which just contains this login page. Now, what has happened? Of course, this project has been added, but also in my web config, a number of configuration details have been entered by the wizard. So, for example, a new configuration section has been added, the Microsoft Identity Model section, which will contain all information related to Windows Identity Foundation and the Identity Federation. Next, it requires all my users to authenticate, so it's changed the means of authenticating and told ASP.NET to deny all users that are not authenticated. Of course, you can change this. For example, if you want to have a home page where you can just navigate to whether you're authenticated or not, you can change it. But by default, it will just limit access to your complete application. Other things that are happening, well, authentication is disabled, so no forms authentication, no Windows authentication. The thing that will happen is because in the modules section, there are two modules added. The thing is, Windows Identity Foundation will take care of authentication for you. So it has two modules, the Federation Authentication module, which is the one responsible for checking if you're authenticated, for checking the claims, for working with the tickets. And there's a Session Authentication module, which will enable you to log in once, and the Session Authentication module will make sure that your claims ticket is available in every request you do afterwards. Next, the Microsoft Identity Model configuration, which contains your audience. So remember the URL we entered in the wizards, which is this one. There's an audience URI, which will be passed over to the secure token server and which will identify the application requesting a login. So what will happen is my application will ask the user to go to the SDS to log in. Well, in that request, this URL will be included. So my user will tell the SDS that it's going to access this application and that the authentication ticket being issued by that SDS should contain this audience URI. Because if I can log into my SDS, but my SDS doesn't trust my application, it will not contain this URI and my application will fail to log in through that SDS. Another noteworthy thing here is the trusted issuers part, where I just say, well, I trust this specific SDS to handle logins for my application, and I know that the authentication ticket coming back, so the identity card coming back from this server, will be signed using this specific certificate. Now, before I can run this, there's one thing I should do, which is basically trick ASP.NET into working with claims-based security, because ASP.NET 4 does this thing called request validation, which means every time a user posts something which contains XML or JSON or HTML, ASP.NET will deny access. So what I have to do is create a small class and configuration file to do that. Now, because of the power of NuGet, I've created a small package which does this and that you can also use in your projects. You can just install one package, which is the WIF request validator. Install that into your project, and this one will just add a small class allowing this specific type of XML to come true. So the XML in your authentication ticket will be allowed through this thing. So that's the claims request validator class in here. I have to add some references as well. There we go. So if I now run this, I can log into my application. So let's try that. Push F5 and run the application. And you will see that I'm immediately being redirected to my secure token server, where I have to log in with some dummy passwords, whatever you want. My username will be Martin or Adam Carter, default, which was in here. I'm going to log into the SDS, and the SDS will redirect me back to my application. And you will see in my application, I'm suddenly logged in, and my application will know my username. So if this continues, there we go. My username is on the right-hand side of the screen, and well, every information the SDS provides to my application, I can access in here. So the only thing that's happening is my user is being redirected to the SDS. I log in onto the SDS. The SDS gives me a ticket. I provide a ticket to my application, and my application is able to consume that information. Now, if you want to work with the data in that ticket, because the username is not the only thing in that ticket, you can simply check your identity in your source code. So, for example, in the page load event, I can just check my identity. Just say my user.identity, cast it to a claims identity. And if that cast succeeds, I can just basically check all the claims that are in there. If my identity is not NOLL, I can just go in there and check all the claims that are provided in this identity. So I'll just do a quick for each through them. Claim in identity.claims. And for every claim, I'm just going to write something to my response. I'm going to write my claim.type plus my claim.value. There it is. I'm just going to write it to my outputs. Nothing that you will be using in your projects, but you'll be able to see the information displayed in the authentication tickets. So if I log in again, you will see on the top of my page all these claims are being listed. So I have one claim which contains my name, which is Adam Carter. I have one claim which contains my role, which is also something provided by the secure token server, and my role is manager. So you can provide several claims about your user in your SDS and provide those to your application. So it's a great solution to externalize logins and to have something else authenticating your users. Now, let's go back to the slide deck. Let's go back to reality. I started the session with the fact that humans are complicated and there's a lot of identities and a lot of stuff going on in the real world. And that's in fact the case. Everything is simple. All this identity federation is still simple if you have your company and you have your application server and your users and your Active Directory. But what if you have an application and you move that application into, for example, Windows Azure or some external place? How are you going to authenticate your users in that case? What if next to your company, you also want to provide access to users from partners, for example? I can imagine if you're a travel agency, for example, that you want to allow your users to log into your application, but maybe also the users of your customers, so they can immediately book on your site just by logging into their Active Directory. What if you're global And what if you want to have users from different continents, from different identity providers authenticating to your application? So what if you have Google ID support? What if you want to support Windows Live ID? What if you want to support Facebook logins? Things get pretty complicated. And in fact, this is the world of today. There's a lot of users having their credentials, and they all want to make use of your application. So imagine managing this. Imagine you have your application, and your application should support multiple identity providers. So you want to be able to log in through Active Directory, through Windows Live, through Google ID, and things like that. Imagine that same application also has a development environment, and a testing environment, and acceptance environment, and of course production. Those are four applications using a number of identity providers. So four applications using five identity providers is one giant plate of spaghetti. It's difficult to manage this, and if you want to manage this in your application, you'll pretty soon have headaches and, big spaghetti of linking all these identity providers to all the applications. Solution to that, the Windows Azure Access Control Service, which is just something like the small SDS we had previously in Visual Studio. The SDS, Windows Azure Access Control Service, provides just doesn't know about the users. It's simply a small SDS proxy, as it were, which will enable you to log in through other SDSs. So the Windows Azure as an SDS will redirect you to a different SDS, for example, Windows Live ID or your Active Directory, enable you to log in there, redirect you back to the application using the claims provided by this external SDS. It also enables you to plug relying parties. So relying party is just an application using ACS to provide logins. And it just takes all the spaghetti out of your application and puts the spaghetti into ACS. So ACS will basically provide the link between every application and all the identity provider support in that application. And I'll show you in a minute how this is done. Also, ACS integrates with Windows Identity Foundation. So if you want to convert your application to use ACS for authentication, you can just run the wizard again, wizard I've shown you in Visual Studio. Enter your ACS namespace, and you will be using ACS within a few minutes in your application to provide authentication. So if you want to have a web application which enables you to log in through Windows Live and Google accounts and Facebook and Yahoo, you can just create a small ACS service namespace, use that in Visual Studio, and you will be up and running in, well, I think, less than 5 minutes. So it's very easy to do. Now, the story gets a little bit more complicated. Again, I have a real-life example. And when I go to the MVP Summit or something, I go to the US, I go to the border. And because I've been on a plane too long, and I usually don't sleep on planes, I'm awake as hell because I drink a lot of coffee. And I usually yell at the border control, "Hello, USA." And they say, "Oh, we need some ID, mister." So I have to provide some proof of identity to the border control. Now, because the border control doesn't really trust my Belgian passports, identity cards, I have to provide them with an international passport. So what happens is, I should get me an international passport. And the international passport is basically the role of ACS. It's one thing the US government trusts. They trust you when you have an international passport. And they will, and that international passport will enable you to fetch an international passport based on your current identity cards issued by your country. So what will happen is the international passport service will do some home realm discovery, and they will check, oh, you're Belgian, so you have to prove you're Belgian. So before I can have an international passport, I have to go to the Belgian government and get my identity card there. The Belgian government, they will do some government chisel again, and they will return me my identity cards. Now, once I have that, I can go to the International Passport Service, hand them over my Belgian identity cards, and they will do a claims transformation. They will transform my Belgian identity cards into an international passport, which I receive again. And afterwards, I can just show that passport to the U.S. border, and they will allow or disallow me access to the U.S. So what happens here, there's just an extra party involved, and they will do some sort of transformation. They will make sure you authenticate through your Belgian government, because you're Belgian, but they will do a claims transformation, transform your identity card into an international passport. Let's change the actors again, and let's have our application, our users, Windows Azure ACS, and some authentication mechanism like Windows Live ID, for example. What will happen is my user will go to my application. He's not allowed to access my application, and he's being redirected to the Windows Azure ACS service. Now, what will happen there is they will also do some home realm discovery. They will have to somehow find out where I have to log in to be able to prove that I'm really the user who I claim to be. And in the case of ACS, the home realm discovery will be a simple page so showing you a logo of Windows Live, a logo of Facebook, a logo of your own ADFS, and you will click that, and once that's happened, you'll be redirected to your SDS, so for example, to Windows Live ID. You're going to log in there. They will check in their database if you're allowed to log in. They will check your validity, your roles, everything they want to put on the authentication tickets, and they will give you the authentication tickets. Once you as a user have that ticket, you will present it to ACS. ACS will again do a token processing, and they will transform that token into something else. They hand it again to you, and then you can present that transformed token to your application and be authenticated or not authenticated. So the only thing that has changed is there's just an extra party involved, which again does claims transformation. They transform the token received from Windows Live ID to a token received by Windows Azure ACS. And your application will only have to trust ACS and not all the different identity providers underneath. So in your application, you only have to configure ACS and not ADFS, not Facebook, not Windows Live ID, because ACS in turn will trust those parties to handle the authentication. Again, important, your user is the one putting the authentication tickets on the wire. So there's no direct communication between your application and ACS. There's no direct communication between your application and Windows Live ID, for example. And there's also no direct connection between Windows Live ID and ACS. So everything is handled by the user. The user is the one navigating between all these parties and sharing data between all these parties. So if at any time the user decides, I don't want to authenticate, I don't want to continue this process, you can just click the stop button in his browser and nothing will have happened and no information will be shared between these parties. So finally, the topic of the session, MyGet. How have we been using all these techniques? So let's dive into that. Those of you who don't know MyGet and who don't know NuGet, NuGet is something new, well, new for almost a year, I guess. It's a package management system for .NET. So it simplifies adding packages, adding open source packages, adding Microsoft packages to your application. So for example, in Visual Studio, we added the WIF request validator. Well, that was true NuGet. I just installed a package in my application. I didn't have to go to my browser, download it, install it, configure it, and stuff like that. I just said install package, and NuGet fetched the package for me and installed it into my application. Developer focused, so not really intended for marketing people or anyone outside Visual Studio. It's just to make life of developers more easy. It's free, it's open source, and contains a lot of information, a lot of packages from the official NuGet feed. So for example, if you want to add jQuery, ASP.NET, MVC to your applications, just install it through NuGet. It's a one-line command or a simple UI where you click install, and all these things will be installed into your application. Now, you can also publish your own packages through NuGet. So for example, if you've developed an open source component, you can publish your open source component on NuGet, and it will be in the list between all the publicly available packages. Now, you probably don't want all your packages that you develop inside your company and that are only intended for your corporate users to be available on NuGet. And that's why we have created MyGet. And MyGet allows you to create your own NuGet feed in, well, I think less than 5 seconds just by logging in, creating a feed, and start uploading packages to that. Your Maggot feeds can contain packages from the official NuGet feed. So, for example, if you want to use jQuery in your corporate feed as well, you can just add jQuery to your Maggot feed as well. You can upload packages, you can push packages from your build server, everything you want to do. But you don't have to manage and maintain your own NuGet server. You can do that, but if you want to have it more easy and want to have a NuGet feed within a few seconds, you can just use Maggot for that. Also, it's free. So I'm going to give you a quick demo about what Maggot does. Let's go back to my desktop. And let's go to my browser. And you will see this is the Maggot page. I can just go to my feeds or click sign in or get started for free. I have to log in through one of these identity providers, so I don't have to register on our website. I just click Windows Live ID, for example. I can log in, create my own feed, test MIDN, for example, continue, and there we go. I've created my Maggot feed, and I can now start adding packages to this. So our purpose was to have a simple solution where you didn't have to register. You could just log in using credentials you already owned. So let's return to the slide deck. I'm going to give you a quick schematical overview of how we are using ACS in Maggot, because Maggot is basically more than just one application. Maggot is in fact at least three applications. We have a development environment, we have a staging environment, we have a production environment, so we have to authenticate users on all these three environments, on all these three applications. So here's what we do. We have Windows Azure running our production. We have our local host development environment for NuGet. And we have our Maggot staging.cloudapp.net. So you can also use that one for Maggot. It will not be available all the time, but it's our vNext version of Maggot. What happens is I want to be able to log into my local host as a developer. I want to be able to log in through just two identity providers, through Windows Live and through Google accounts. The reason for that is when we're developing, we want to just test all the flow that we have, but we also want to be able to log in as a different user and a different identity provider. So in our development purposes, we can log in through these two types of identity provider. Also, when we're developing, we want to be able to log into our staging environments. Now, our staging environment is slightly more complicated in such that we provide all the identity providers that we also allow on the public website. So if you go to the staging environment, we want you to be able to log in through Yahoo, through Windows Live ID, through Google, and through Facebook. Next thing we want to do is have our production users. And our production users can log in through Maggot.org, and they will be able to log in through all these four identity providers and even more configured in Windows Azure App Fabric Access Control Service. Now you see the notion of tenants. Basically, Maggot supports multi-tenancy. So we can have a private Maggot deployment running on the same code base, running on the same machine, just under a different domain name. For every of these domain names, you want to have different settings in ACS. So for example, if we log in through our real normal version of Maggot, we only want to be able to log in through our Active Directory and not through Windows Live ID. So I'm going to give you a quick sample of all these environments in my desktop. So let's go to my desktop again. And you've already seen the public Maggot.org website. So I have logged in into this through several identity providers. I also have the staging environment. If I want to sign in there, you will see that I have less choice in identity providers. So if I sign in to the staging environment, I can only log in through Windows Live ID, Google, and Facebook. If I'm at Real Daemon and I want to log in to our Real Daemon version of Maggot, I can click sign in, and you will see that I am not able to log in through Windows Live ID and through Facebook. I'm only able to log in through our internal Active Directory Federation server. Now, because I'm in the Microsoft network, I don't have access to this thing, and I won't be able to log in, but I can't log into our corporate Real Daemon version of Maggot using my Windows Live ID. I have to use our ADFS server for that. So you immediately see that if I want to support this in my application and I want to do this myself, I have to do a lot of stuff to get things working in here. So I have to configure all these things in my application if I want to do this. And of course, I don't want to do this. I want to use ACS or something which takes all this configuration out of my hands. So there's three reasons why we use ACS in MyGet. One of these reasons is the create your own NuGet feed in 5 seconds promise. We don't want to have users having to register on MyGet. We just want them to be able to log into MyGet and immediately start working. So immediately create feeds, add packages to their feeds, and just skip the whole registration parts. Our application will know about Windows Azure App Fabric Access Control Service, which is a large tongue twister, so I'll just say ACS in the future. Our app knows ACS, and ACS just knows our app and knows our app supports logging through Windows Live ID, through Yahoo, through Google, and through Facebook. So I'm going to quickly show you how we've done this. So let's again go to my desktop. And let's open MyGet in Visual Studio. So you will see in the configuration we have for MyGet that we have only registered one STS. So we've only registered our production ACS namespace in here, but not the STS URL for Windows Live ID, for Facebook, for Yahoo, just this one URL. Now what will happen is if I go to that URL and log into the management page of ACS, which, by the way, uses ACS to log in. So it's kind of a circular reference. I have a list of identity providers, a list of applications, and a list of all the rules of all the combinations of all these things. So for example, I have several relying party applications. Our public myget.org. I have our IIS server running on a local development machine. I have our staging environment, and I have a real DOM tenant. So our real domain.customer.mygets.org websites. Now all these things consume one or more identity providers, and that's the second thing we have in ACS, which is Facebook, we have Google, we have OpenID, which is something we've created. We've created our own STS, which uses OpenID to log into. We have also have a development version of that. We have a real domain ACS, Windows Live ID, and Yahoo. So for example, if I go to Google, I can configure how I want to log in through Google and which applications use Google. So for example, only MyGet, our development version and our staging version use Google. If I go to Windows Live ID, you will see only these three applications use those identity providers. If I go to our real domain ADFS, you will see that we are only using this one on that tenant. So only this relying party, only this URL is using this identity provider to log in. So all the spaghetti, which I mentioned, is handled through just creating a connection between a relying party application on one hand side and the identity provider on the other side. So for example, if I go to Windows Live ID, disable MyGet and save listing, on MyGet, if I go to the login page, you will no longer be able to log in through Windows Live ID. If I enable it again, so sorry for everyone using MyGet in production. If I enable it again, you'll see Windows Live ID is coming back. So I match how I can log in through ACS, and my application just trusts ACS, and ACS handles the rest of this. Let's go back to the contents. Another reason why we use ACS is, of course, the fact that we have different environments. So we have our production environment, we have our staging environment, we have our development, we have the real domain environments. Our application shouldn't care about this. Our application just wants to have users logging in, and ACS should handle the differences between all these environments. So that's what we've done. I showed you through the portal that we have registered our local host version, our staging version, and our production version. Our application just trusts ACS, and ACS will handle the differences between all these environments. I don't have a specific demo on this, so I'll just skip to the next reason why we are using ACS, which is the difference between tenants. We want to have easily easy support for multi-tenant logins in our application. We want to have, on one hand, our own development, staging, production environments, but also if you want to add support for one customer on MyGit to have their dedicated version of MyGit, you want to just be able to create a domain name for him, register that domain name in ACS, and let ACS decide how the user for that domain name can log in. And again, our application shouldn't care. Our application doesn't care. MyGit will just trust the authentication to ACS, and ACS will handle the rest of this. So let's go back to our application, and I will give you some pointers on how you can do that. Because if you have your identity model configuration, you should configure your audiences. So all the tenants we have, all the environments we have should be configured in our webconfig, and basically configuring them in webconfig is just like hard coding these things. You don't want to change this just at runtime to add one additional user that is supported or one additional domain that is supported through MyGit. So instead, the thing that we do to support different domains is just change this at runtime. Change the audience URIs that are supported at runtime. So for example, the moment we add RealDolmon as a customer, RealDolmon as a tenant in MyGit, what we want to do is just programmatically add RealDolmon as a tenant in here. To remove RealDolmon, we also want to remove that URL in here, just to make sure that even if a user knows the URL to the SDS and logs into the SDS, comes back to our application, just to make sure our application no longer supports that specific URL, no matter how the user has logged in. So what we do is simply in our code, whenever a user logs in, we check if he is authenticated, and if he's not authenticated, we check for our tenant's realm. So in our database, we have a list of all the URLs under which a tenant is known, and that realm is something we are going to add into the list of our allowed audience URIs. So where I previously had our webconfig, and here I'm just accessing that part of the webconfig through the federated authentication.service configuration.audience-restriction. Blah, blah, blah. Checking if it already contains our tenants. If not, just adding it programmatically. After doing that, I'm just going to return my view, and my view will simply know about all the identity providers, and because it's running on a specific domain, ACS will also know that the request is coming from this specific domain and just show the list of authentication providers supported for that single domain name. So whether it's our development environments, our production environments, or just one tenant on a different domain, ACS will know simply by doing these two simple steps. And that's basically all there is to it. The thing we do after that is just create a profile whenever someone logs in. We set a cookie for that profile, and we redirect the user back to our application. So that's everything there's to it. It's nothing more than that. So let's go back to the slides and wrap up a conclusion. Federation in your applications today and have users just authenticate with some identity they already have. So Windows Live ID, Directive Directory, accounts, whatever. You don't have to recreate yet another registration page, yet another change password page. You just want users to be able to use their existing credentials for that. Also, if you use Identity Federation, you can add a small layer on top of that using ACS, and ACS will just provide you with some bonus, and that bonus is basically the fact that ACS will take the spaghetti out of your hands. So you don't have to configure your application to have different identity providers, to have different URLs on which it should listen. You can just configure that in ACS, and ACS will handle all that, and your application only has to trust ACS and not 1,000 identity providers that you want to use. And that's in fact the reason why MyGit also uses ACS. We wanted to get rid of yet another registration page, and we wanted to provide our promise of having a NuGet feed running in 5 seconds on MyGit. We wanted to keep that promise, and you can just do that by logging in through Windows Live ID, through Facebook, through whatever. Also, we didn't want to have a difference between environments. We didn't want to create if-then-else logic in our code to change between a production database and a staging database just for authentication. Of course, we do that for our data, but not for the authentication part. We simply configured ACS with a different configuration. Our application, whether it's running on dev, on prod, or on acceptance, will just use ACS, and ACS will handle the subtle differences between all these things. Same story, in fact, for tenants. If we want to add a different customer for MyGet, who has a private MyGet deployment, we just have to configure that URL in our application, which happens automatically, as you've seen in the code. And the next thing we do is configure that URL in ACS, and ACS, again, will handle the link between that URL and the identity providers that are supported for that specific URL, which a user is trying to authenticate to. So I hope that you are all going to be using at least Identity Federation in your projects, and ACS would be nice if you would use that as well, so I don't have to change any more passwords if I again check my password into some open source project source repository.
Right.
Some resources, which you can find in the slide deck, of course, MyGet, of course, Windows Azure. But I've also added some URLs to, for example, the Windows Azure SDK, to the AppFabric SDK, and to the Windows Identity Foundation SDK, just to get you started. Also, the Windows Azure Training Kit contains several samples of how you can use all these things. So if you're interested in using all these things in your application, just navigate to all these URLs, and you will be up and running in pretty much no time.